That's great, isn't it? How many of you can identify with that? Guys, your wives come to you before church, and you're like, what are you doing? You know, as I watched that, I was thinking, man, well, I'll ask you the question. How many of you parents here would say that you can identify with that video in the fact that you feel helpless oftentimes or overwhelmed or in over your head when it comes to leading kids? Any of you? Well, whatever you've tried doesn't work. And then whatever you try new doesn't work, and you're like, dude, I'm just not cut out for this. That makes me feel good, because I now feel like I have company with me as well, which I don't know if that's comforting for you as parents, because I'm up here speaking, and yet I'm no different than you. So, you know, about 3 weeks ago, we began this series entitled Modern Family. And when we began the series, what we kicked it off with and what I shared with you is that this series is really all about a response to what we see as a big issue today in families. It may be your family, it may be a family of someone you know, whether it's a friend, whether it's a coworker, it could be your family's family. It could be all types of different situations. But what we know is when we talk about families today, and we see this just all around us, is that families are absolutely scrapping and clawing and fighting, in some cases, to try to just keep their family intact. Have any of you ever seen that before, or you know situations like that? And when you see this happening, oftentimes what you see is you see husbands and wives, or maybe one or the other more than the other one, trying to just keep their marriage together, trying to keep their kids going the right directions and not getting themselves into trouble, trying to keep their career going, trying to keep their finances in order, trying to just keep this deal as best as they can, duct tape together and keep moving it down the field. And as we've discussed this entire time, what most of us use as a one-word summary to describe our families or our family experiences is the word survive. It's survive. That most people just think that this is just as good as it's going to get. And if I can just keep this thing together and keep it moving forward, then we actually win, because most families today are not winning. But as I've shared the past 3 weeks, and what I want us to talk about again today, is that by design, according to Scripture, God actually created and designed a blueprint for the family, not for it just to survive, but actually, as I've said, to thrive. It is actually what God has put together is for this family that God has given you and blessed you with and blessed all of us with, as frustrating or as complicated as it can be sometimes, God has designed it within Scripture as He speaks about it for it to thrive and not merely survive. The problem is that for most of us, when we think about our families, we don't experience that. And what we've looked at the past few weeks is that the reason for that is because many of us, I believe, are trying to do this family thing apart from God and not focused on God. And so when we began this series, what we talked about, just as a summary and a little bit of recap for those of you that are our guests, is that the starting point for us as families, the starting point for each and every one of us, according to Scripture, is to first and foremost have a God-honoring vision for your family. That it just really starts there. Because as they say, if you aim at nothing, you'll hit at what? Every time. And that's just the way it is with families. That's the way it is with you as an individual. That's the way it is for a business. It's the way it is for anything. And we have to start thinking that way. And what we discussed was, as Joshua spoke to the 12 tribes of Israel right before his death, he said, guys, here's the thing. You need to choose who you're going to serve. What is your vision for your family going to be like? And then he stated what his was, and he said this: as for me and my family, guys, we're going to serve the Lord. That this is what it's all about for us. It's going to be to serve the Lord. And so that was the first thing. And not only do you have to have some great vision, right, for your family, for it to be important, that you, when you say yes to God, you say no to other things. But the second thing we discussed last week was about roles and responsibilities. That whenever you look throughout Scripture, what God did is He not only gave you a vision for your home and a vision for your family, but He actually started creating responsibilities and hardwired you on how the family's to work. Just like any other organization, for it to work properly, for it to be healthy, it has to have people playing certain roles based on their strengths. Just like in where you work, just like on any team you've ever been on. The unfortunate thing is today, when you look at the home and look at the family, either I've come to one of two conclusions. Either many people don't understand or know their roles, or they don't want to fulfill their role. Because what we found in Scripture is from the beginning, God designed men and women very, very differently. Y'all agree with that? Yeah, as they say, men are from Mars and women are from Venus. It is absolutely polar opposites. It could not be any different. And what we found biblically, and even what science is proving today, and even what psychologists and others are proving, and even what surveys that are given out there with all the data that's out, is saying there are two main things that we need to understand about a man and about a woman. And it's this: is that God hardwired and designed men from the very beginning with this deep need to be supported and to be respected by their wives. That in essence for men, what men need in essence for the role that God has designed them for in leading their home is for their wife to say, hey, I believe in you
and I'm going to support you, and I'm going to follow your leadership in the home. And that's it. But what we discussed is a lot of men today feel mothered by their wives. And if you want to, as a wife, turn your marriage around, the very first thing that you probably need to work on and pray about is for you to quit mothering your husband, because he already has one mama probably, okay? And for you to actually be his wife and to love him and support him. And just a little bit, I know some of you ladies may be a little skeptical of that. They did a survey of thousands and thousands of men, and these men actually responded with about 90% saying, between love and respect, which one is the most important to you? Around 90% said respect, support, not love. And then ladies, I'm not going to leave you out. What we looked at as roles and responsibilities for you ladies is that God has designed women, guys, by the way, just a little different from you if you haven't figured that out. And their number one desire, the number one thing that God designed in them, and it's just hardwired in them and what they want, is that they have a desire to be loved and cherished above anything in your life outside of God. That a woman really wants to know that she's more important to you than your job. She's more important to you than your hobby. She's more important to you than college football, although I think college football is very close to that one. But no, she really, really wants to know that. And for you to have a thriving marriage in your life, guys, you need to start loving your wives to the point like Christ loved the church. Ladies, you need to support and follow the leadership of your husbands. Now, when you get to something like this on children and raising kids, and I know some of us here don't have kids today, and that's okay, because what I'm going to say I think actually applies to all of us. But whenever you start raising kids, I thought to myself, I said, you know, what do I have to say? Yeah, I'm 34. I have four kids between the ages of 7 and about 17 months, with an almost 5-year-old in there and then an almost 4-year-old in there. And here I am, and I'm up in front of parents. And you know, like I said earlier, I mean, I feel like I fail every day at this. So what am I to say? So I started kind of thinking about it. I thought, well, maybe what I need to do is just get up here and advertise books. Like say, hey, read this book because this one's great. You know, read this book because it's great. You know, read all these books. And as I was thinking about reading books, here's something that I figured out. It's kind of funny, I think. Is that what you can tell about a parent pretty quickly is, you know, how they're doing is by looking at what books they're reading. You know what I'm talking about? I mean, you really can. You can get a lot of insight into a parent based on the books they're reading, the shows they're watching, who they're looking to for counsel. And so what I thought is I'd just be vulnerable with you guys. I have nothing to hide, okay? You'll figure that out quickly. But I just thought, let me just show some of the books to you that we've read or we've been reading. And let me start here. This is one I've read. It's called A Kid CEO. All right? Now, y'all are going to want to buy these, I bet, some of you. It says, How to Keep Your Children from Running Your Life. Any of you need that book? All right? Here's another one. And again, this is just kind of opening the door. You guys are going to know more about me. This one's called Screen-Free Parenting. Screen-free. All right? If you want to be a screen-free parent, here's the solution. But it says, A Revolutionary Approach to Raising Your Kids by Keeping Your Cool. All right? That's one. Now, this one's awesome. This is kind of like How to Get Rich Quick. You know, who likes How to Get Rich Quick ideas? I mean, those are just awesome. They never work, okay? I'm just telling you. All right, here's this other one. Have a New Kid by Friday. This is, now look, and this wasn't like starting on Sunday. This is like starting Monday and having a new kid by Friday. So 5 days, you've got a new kid. I mean, that's How to Get Rich Quick kind of deal. And then this is one that's my wife's. I didn't buy this one. This one's awesome. it says, She's Gonna Blow. And serious. These are our books. Real Help for Moms Dealing with Anger. So I guess when you have four kids, and by the way, today's my wife's birthday, 23. Happy birthday, babe. About got myself in trouble. But you know, when you look at books like this, it tells you a lot. Okay, now you know what I deal with as a parent. You know what my wife deals with as a parent and all this. But here's the thing that's interesting about parenting. Is that what's very true, I think, about most of us is that we kind of have our life that we're living as parents, right? Leading our homes, doing what we do, holding down jobs, paying bills. I mean, you know, the hustle and bustle, the rat race, the whole deal. And all in between life, we're trying to figure out how to parent our kids. And so what happens is, generally, at least for us, is that as we're going through the rhythm and the, you know, the ebbs and flows of life, is that we get to a point and as problems start coming up, then what do we start doing? If those problems don't go away quickly, we start looking for books on how to try to fix it. You know what I'm talking about? You just look for these solutions to try to fix it. And just, you know, can I stop this? Can I kill this deal? Can I, you know, not your kid, but can I stop? All the times you may, you know, if you need that book, let me know. You know, you do all this stuff and you're sitting here trying to figure out how to parent your kids along the way. And you're looking for solutions and, you know, how to get rich quick and parenting ideas and, you know, all this stuff. And what as I thought about it, what's interesting to me is that when you really think about it, that's kind of like going into a culture or a system and a process that is just unhealthy and trying to band-aid it oftentimes. You know what I'm talking about? I mean, there's nothing wrong with that. I mean, you always need solutions as problems arise. But I think, unfortunately, today, as we've talked about families now for 4 weeks, is that if you were to just think that my family, the solution to trying to get things on track is just going and buying more books and putting more things into the process and my normal everyday experience, and that that's going to fix the deal, then I think we're a little naive, and I, me included. Because the reality is that there's a whole lot more to leading a home and leading family and raising children in a healthy way than just trying to band-aid problems as they exist. And the reality is for all of us, I think, as parents in here today, if I were to ask you, do you have dreams for your kids? You would say, absolutely. And some of your dreams may go like this. You know, I want to see my kids grow up one day to just really love God. You know, just to where that they have this confidence and their identities in God because they'll be secure and all these things. And you would say, that's one probably. You say another one is they'd be healthy. I don't want to see my kids unhealthy or physically or emotionally or anything. I want to see them being healthy. You with me? Even if you're not parents here today, you would want that for your kids, right? And then you would say, I want them to get a good education. I want them to be able to have, you know, the possibilities that maybe I didn't have, or to have the options and all these types of things. And so you have all these dreams. But whenever you start looking at how you're leading your family and how you're raising your kids, then the question that comes in is, what is your strategy to help them get there? What are you doing each day? What am I doing each and every day that helps our children get to the dreams and the hopes we have for them? For many of us, this is what it looks like. Buy them whatever we can to get them to become happy. You with me? Try to sign them up for every possible outlet of sports and recreation and entertainment and all this, and just cater them and run them everywhere they want to go. You with me? Some of it's just give them money and say, yeah, go. Some of it's just let them just do what they want to do, in essence. And that's kind of our strategy. Because you may think you don't have a strategy. The reality is you have one. It's just whether or not your strategy aligns with the hopes and the dreams you have for your children. Well, the interesting thing is that I believe when we think and live and react that way, in essence, what we're doing is we're not being proactive as parents. We're actually reacting as parents. That's really what we're doing. We're just kind of going through life, no vision, no strategy, nothing. And then we're trying to look for quick wins as we go through problems and experience pains with our children. And we try to band-aid things. And as things start coming apart, we're going, why? Well, I believe the reason why is because we have the wrong starting point. I believe the reason why is because Scripture actually tells us a better strategy. I think Scripture actually tells us that there's something that should come at the very beginning. There's something that should be taking place in each and every one of our lives. I don't care if you have children here or not. This applies. I'm telling you. Get ready to take notes because this applies. This right here, I believe, is what God wants. It's a strategy for every home, every family, every single adult, every parent. It starts here. And it's found in the book of Deuteronomy. If you have your Bibles, turn with me to Deuteronomy. We're going to look at chapter 6, starting in verse 4. And I just want to give you a little insight as to what's taking place here. Many of us have heard the stories about Moses, and he went into Egypt, and he took the children of Israel, and he told, you know, Pharaoh, let my people go. He said no, you know, the whole story, right? Here they are, they're out in the wilderness, they're traveling to the promised land, as it was termed in Scripture as the land flowing with milk and honey. And here Moses is, and Moses has just discussed the Ten Commandments with these people again. And in chapter 6, verse 1, here's what he kind of gets into. He says, now listen, guys. He's speaking to Israel, and he says, you need to know that for you to go into the land flowing with milk and honey, for things to go well for you, things to go well for your kids, that you need to abide by all these things that we're talking about, okay? And so Moses is kind of setting them up. He's saying, now listen, before you enter the promised land, before you go in there and all this stuff happens, he's saying, you need to know that these things are so essential for your family, for you as individuals, for things to go well in the land. And then picking up in verse 4, I want you to look with me what he says. And this is called the Shema. This is in Hebrew, and it means hear. And this is Moses, and he starts out in verse 4, and he says this, hear, O Israel, the Lord our God is one. And what Moses declares just straight up to these people is that our God is the one God. Our God, remember the guy that split, the Red Sea? Well, that wasn't me, Moses. That was God who did that. You know how all the manna is there every morning for you? That's because of your God. You know the one that has made the rock give us water? That's your God. Our God is the one God. And we've seen that clearly. Verse 5. And he starts off, and this is what he declares to them. This is the first time this is declared in Scripture. This is new stuff for them. And this is actually what Jesus responds to in the gospel accounts when he's asked, what is the greatest commandment? And here's what Moses says, okay? Here it is. You shall love the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your soul, and with all your might. That when Moses looked at these individuals and he said, guys, you want this to go well for you in your life? You want this to go well for your kids? You want for this experience in the land of Canaan, in the promised land? If you want for this to be everything that you want it to be, if you want your family life to thrive, okay? If you want to not just survive, if you don't want to have all these other problems, you need to get this one thing straight. He said, it's all about loving God with all of your heart, with all of your soul, and with all of your might. Look at verse 6 with me. And he said, in these words that I command you today shall be on your heart. See, when Moses was actually speaking to these people, they had all thought about God in the sense of fearing God and don't do this and do that, don't do this and do that, right? All the Ten Commandments. And he had just actually spoken on the Ten Commandments. He now steps in and says, now you're to love God. You're to like have an intimate relationship with the God that you call Father. This is the God. And what Moses is declaring here, and think with me, what he's setting up is the starting point, the culture creation within Israel, the culture creation within each home, the culture creation within each family, and it's to be founded on one main thing. Love God. Love God with all that you are. With all of your heart, which also includes your mind. You see that in the Gospels where Jesus says mind. In the Hebrew, the heart and the mind were seen as the same. Love the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your mind, with all your soul, and with all your might, with all of your strength, with every ounce of life in you. Love God. See, the thing about families today is that oftentimes what our dreams are for our children, what our dreams are for our families, is for all this stuff about God to be preeminent, all this stuff about God to be experienced, all these things about God to be in our lives. I mean, I think that's most of our hearts, right? Deep down, that's most of our hearts. The unfortunate thing is that our starting point is not even on the radar. And what Moses says is, guys, you cannot experience something. You cannot create a culture in your home. You cannot have a life in the land of Canaan or here in Bartlett or Arlington or wherever you live, Tennessee, without the first thing happening is loving God with every ounce of your being. And I believe today that in the family, if you want to make this really simple as to where we need to start and just in your own personal life, is that you may be reading a lot of books about this and that and so forth, and you're trying to band-aid problems and fix this and tweak that. I mean, that's really all you're doing. You're tweaking things, okay? Tweaks are subtle. Tweaks are good at times. But if the culture of your life, the culture of your family, the culture of your home is not what Moses is saying here, where you love God with all your heart, soul, mind, and strength, then you are in essence trying to turn the Titanic on a dime. It won't happen. The starting point is here. Now, look with me. I'm not going to stop. This is where it really, I think, hits home. Verse 7. You shall teach them diligently to your children. Teach what diligently? The commandments of God. Continue. And shall talk of them when you sit in your house, and when you walk by the way, and when you lie down, and when you rise. Moses is telling these people that what must change in every family, what must be absolutely essential, foundational, and a starting point is a home that has a culture where God is your love. But you know, you see this all the time. many of us come in here and other churches and other organizations and all this, and we will verbally say, as Joshua said, as for me and my house, we're going to serve the Lord, and I want to love the Lord my God with all my heart, soul, mind, and strength. You know, we say that. But then we go home, and the culture we're creating, because you are the culture creators in your home, is not something of love. It's just spoken. You just have a, you may have the Ten Commandments on your wall. You may have verses on your wall. You may have all these things. But there is a disconnect in your home of what you say you want and what you actually live. And what Moses is saying here is that for parents to lead our homes well, we must first experience and internalize this loving relationship with God that is so incredible, that is so life-giving, that is so unbelievable, that it can't help but flow out of you, as he said, to your children. You know, kids are pretty smart. You agree? Kids figure stuff out quickly. My 7-year-old calls me out on stuff all the time. And it's not good. I don't like it. It's humbling because I don't have good answers for him because he's always right, usually. The unfortunate thing is with children being raised in a home where their mom and their dad, basically the God thing for them is what they state verbally to their children. And it's something that they may participate in some on the weekend on Sunday. But every time throughout the rest of Sunday and every hour throughout the rest of the week, God is not even in the picture. It's just the rat race. And this culture is all about something other than what they say. Kids pick up on that disconnect. Kids pick up on it. And so you can say all day long, as they say, right? Do as I say, not as I do. You can say all day long, you don't need to say that. You don't need to do that. You need to put God first. You need to do this. You need to do that. And the kids look at you and go, like you? Really? Kids pick up on it. And what Moses is saying here is that this is not about tweaks with books. This is not about disciplining better. I mean, those are fine. But if you really want to have a home that thrives and a home that God uses and God shows up and God blesses and God is all over it, it starts with you falling in love with God as an adult. And secondly, spilling that over into the hearts of your children. What's amazing here and what's cool is that what Moses said thousands of years ago still applies to today, doesn't it? Look with me, verse 7. Do you sit today? Yeah? Okay. do you walk? Not as much as we should, but do we walk? You drive. Same thing. You lie down, go to sleep at night. Maybe you take naps. I don't know. And then you get up in the morning. What Moses is saying is, as a parent, is that when you fall in love with God, and when God is the most important relationship in your life first, that every time you go somewhere with your children, you'll just talk about God. That means we may need to turn our cell phones off, turn the radio down, quit being distracted, and pour your life of what God's pouring into you, into your children. When they get up in the morning, they have their breakfast or whatever you're doing with your kids, pour into them about God. When you're taking them somewhere, pour into them about God. When they get ready to go to sleep at night, pour into them about God. But you can't pour out of you what you don't have in you. And that is the most important thing in creating a home and a culture where the family will thrive. Not just survive, especially when raising kids. Now, here's what I want to do this morning. I don't want to leave you where you feel like, okay, well, you tell me what I already know, but I don't know how to do that. Two things we want to help you with. First, we'll call Eddie Davis up. Eddie is our family ministry director. He and I are going to spend just a couple of minutes sharing with you, those of you that have kids, students, and family, just how we do family ministry. Because whenever... Say hi, Eddie.
Hey, hey guys.
because whenever you think about this, and I think when we're honest, it's kind of overwhelming, isn't it, as parents? It's like, where do you start? And what we don't want to do is to just, what I grew up and saw a lot of is where someone would get up here, they would speak to me, they'd tell me the obvious, they'd tell me things I know, but then they didn't help me get there. And so what we want to do, what we're committed to doing here at River City Church, and our vision is to actually help parents lead their homes and lead their children. So that's why I wanted Eddie to share with you. This is, we have a captive audience. This is our opportunity to share with you how and why we do what we do as a church for families. So, Eddie, I want to just ask you a couple of questions. When we think about our vision here for family ministry in River City Church, how is it different when you think of it in light of how many people think of nursery, youth group, children's church, things like that? How, if you were to summarize it, how is it different what we do here?
There's a couple things. First of all, we are relationship-based. We try to base everything we do on relationships with the parent to the child, the small group leader or the teacher to the child, and the child to the other fellow children in the classroom. And what's great when you do that is it's not based on catching the kids and taking them from the beginning of the Bible to the end of the Bible in preschool and then doing it again in elementary school and then trying it again in middle school, just that hopefully when they get out of high school, they got the Bible. That's not what we're trying to aim at. We're aiming at hitting kids where they are. We're aiming at trying to give them some core truths and ultimately trying to build bonds and relationships with these leaders to where they know, man, I can trust my small group leader with spiritual questions that I might have. I can go to my parents and realize, man, my small group leader or my teacher is teaching me that I need to go to my parents and ask them some questions regarding Jesus, regarding life, regarding the Bible. And I think that if we aim at that, if we aim at relationships, if we start there, I feel like we'll have a little bit better impact in the long run when kids get into college and into young adulthood, that kind of thing.
So small groups are a big deal for us.
Huge.
Yeah. One of the things here at River City Church, we believe that life change really happens mainly in circles, not in rows. We think God uses, no doubt, teaching like this, that you'll hear some things, maybe you'll walk away and say, okay, that's pretty cool. I'll think about that at least. But we believe really where life change happens is when people get in a circle and they start talking through issues in life and how they bounce against Scripture. And so we even do that not from just adults, but all the way from children up through adults here at the church. Cool. As far as how do we see this? Because I'm sure parents, maybe some of you are out there, and you're thinking, okay, well, I'm a parent. I have X amount of kids, or I'm expecting, or whatever the situation is. And how, you know, I've got my deal. Jonathan just slammed me over. Okay, I got to, you know, raise my kids. How does the church get involved in this? So tell us a little bit about the relationship between the parent and the church and kind of how all that works. What does that look like?
Okay. It's pretty simple. The parent has the kids about 3,000 hours out of the year, 3,000 hours. The church, we have your children for 40 hours out of the year, 3,000 hours to 40 hours. The home is the spiritual leader in the church, whether in the child's life, whether they want to admit it or not, whether they even understand that or not. I mean, you guys are, as mom and dads, grandma and grandpas, you guys are the spiritual leaders in those homes. You guys have opportunities that the church doesn't have. And you guys, whether you do an incredible job, whether you, like Jonathan was saying earlier, whether you put God first, whether you really love him and really set a tone at the house, will dictate whether or not your kids kind of get it. The impact you guys can make on the family, on the home, is huge in conjunction with, you know, what we can do here at the church. Now, what we do here at the church is provide you guys with resources. We're the source. We are, for example, a light for you guys. You guys provide the warmth and the love and the joy and the attention that the kids need, and we give you guys the Scripture. We give you guys those character qualities that you guys can take home with you and teach your kids on a weekly basis, on a daily basis. One of those things where it's not, man, you know, I learned a really, really cool thing on Sunday, but by Thursday, I don't remember what I learned. The cool thing is, mom and dad, is that you have 3,000 hours. And all we're asking is to partner with us saying, you know what, we're going to give you information. We're going to give you encouragement. We're going to give you as many resources as we can to make you who you should be, which is, like Moses was saying, you are that spiritual leader. You are to catch them in the morning when they're getting ready for school. You are to, as they're driving to school with you in the back seat, hanging out, talking to them about the Lord. When they come home for dinner, it's you and them to spend a little bit of time in the Word. Maybe not breaking your Bibles out over soup and sandwich, but it might be just talking about a few things spiritually, because you want to keep those connections going as they grow, as they become more and more into young adults and into actual adults.
Cool. I don't know how you think, parents, but behavior versus what's factual. It's kind of like perception versus reality. Oftentimes when parents think about the church, we tend to think that we just need to take our kids there from infancy up through, you know, high school, college. And as they start becoming rebellious, it's like, fix them. You know what I'm talking about? Like, you just dump them off and you say, fix them. And then hopefully send them back better, a better product than what they were before. But whenever you look at all the information that's out there, when kids are honest, what kids will tell you is the number one individual that has an impact on their life spiritually is not a family ministry pastor, not a lead pastor, it's not any of those individuals, it's their parents. Number one. So you can dump them on us 3,000 hours if you want it, which we won't be here, but you could try. And you could keep them 40, and you could still have more of an impact on their lives spiritually than we ever could. It is so important for the loving hearts of parents, who is what we believe, we're better together. Absolutely. With the hearts of the parents and then the church coming around to help aid you and support you in this great work that you have. Now, we have some pictures of the resources that we hand out weekly, so we can kind of tell them. If you get papers here when you drop your kids off, and check them in, you get stuff, okay, when you go home. You may not even know what it is. You may think, what is this deal? And you throw it away. Well, it's actually to help you. And so, Eddie, why don't you take us through just quickly some of the resources we give out.
Absolutely. In our preschool environment, for example, we have what we call small tar cards, and they're monthly based. And what's great, like it said in Deuteronomy 6, that when they rise, when they go about their day, when you guys take them in the car and drive them around on the weekends and that kind of thing, when they eat and when they lie down, these are the times on your small talk card where you can catch what we're learning each week. And what's great is you can carry that week to week and day to day, and the kids just don't forget it. My little girl's 16 months old, and she doesn't forget anything. I mean, I can talk to her, I can tell her something, and she's walking around the house just mimicking everything I say. Well, if I begin to instill in her, sometimes that's good, sometimes that's not. But if I can get her to instill in her the truths that she's learning in Sunday school, and family ministry in her infant room, for example, words like God made me. Just teaching a little girl God made me sets a tone for their life. God loves me sets a tone for their life. And Jesus wants to be my friend forever. Those are just some three basic truths that we'll do in our Wombaland, in our pre-K area, that the kids, they just get it. When they start getting and understanding that our activities wrap around these three basic truths, we begin to make a greater impact. Now, moms and dads, that's where you guys come in. If you guys stay consistent with that, then they carry on year by year by year. And as they graduate into elementary school, and then from elementary school to middle school and high school, they start understanding these truths, and they start aligning the rest of their life around what they understand as true. Now, in Upstreet, we've got a refrigerator door card, and that can go on your refrigerator door.
Very nice.
What's great about that is this is for elementary school kids. What's great about this is it goes to our virtue, because as they get older, they start making connections with various character qualities like respect. Next month, we're going to talk about initiative. Previous months, we talked about patience. We talked about joy. We talked about peace. And what we're wanting to do in a month's time is carry these kids through a simple definition of what respect is. For example, this month, respect is showing others that they're important by what you say and do. Not just say, not just do, but say and do. So what we do is we slap it on the refrigerator, and as the kids go by, you can memorize that little phrase, and you can say, hey, what's respect mean again? And then you can catch them throughout the week. This is what's awesome. You can catch them throughout the week and give them little incidents of when they were and were not respectful. You see how it works? You guys are taking what we're doing on Sunday mornings back to the home. We're giving you guys, providing you guys with, in this case, a refrigerator door card where you can just carry memory verse back to them. You can carry them just a little bit of truth from God's word that they will just be able to continue to make connections with and be like, you know what? I just learned that on Sunday. Mom's talking to me about it on Tuesday. I'm probably not going to forget it by Thursday. You see what we're saying? And the next thing we have, what we call God time cards. And those are interactive activities you can do with your children in elementary school. And what's great about those is that, once again, it connects the virtue that we're talking about for the month, for example, respect, and it gives you 4 days out of the week. You don't have to do it all 7 days. You can if you want, but it gives you 4 days to choose from that Sunday to the next Sunday, to carry in that information that the kids just got, that teaching they got from their small group leader and or their large group teacher during that time, And what's great about those is they have little fill-in-the-blanks, little word finds, and it makes it a little more fun. You could do it with them. You could have them do them or bring them to you and say, hey, let me check your answers. If you're that kind of parent, like my parents were, then, you know, you can just give them, like I said, this is us giving you guys information, giving you guys encouragement, giving you guys a chance to really wrap your mind around what it means to lead my home, what it means to lead the parent. I mean, I'm sorry, lead the kids as a parent.
Awesome. You know, I hope this is helpful. And he, as I was thinking about how to kind of wrap things up, many of you know that I came from the business world. And the business that I worked for, it's one business within just this kind of this umbrella of businesses. And when I worked there for, I don't know, 19 years or so, and left last August. And in the past couple of years of when I was there, the company went through a transition because it was a publicly traded company. It went private. And this company I worked for this period of time, I absolutely loved that business. Came in, I was able to work my way through. They invested a lot of time, money, resources in me to help me develop. And as they did that, we really had this sense within this business I worked for of like a family. The culture of it was just really close-knit. It was one of those that the president modeled it, the VPs modeled it, many of the directors, all these other people modeled it. And throughout my time there, I absolutely just loved this business. I mean, I was loyal. I drank the Kool-Aid, right? I mean, I believed in the company. Well, within the last couple of years, though, that company, when they went private, they were purchased. If you've ever been a part of one of those situations, what you realize is that a lot of changes take place. And what happened was is that what became the culture and what was the main driver for that business was for it to become bottom-line driven. Now, every business is bottom-line driven to a degree. But what we saw happen was that when all this started happening and all these changes started happening, what happened was the culture of family was replaced by the culture of something else, and it was money. And I remember in my last year or two there that as I walked around through the halls and as I'd ride the elevator up, people were not near as cheerful, near as happy, nearly as excited about work. And what I remember thinking to myself, and I told people this when I left, is what the company once was, it's now just a shell of it. The soul had been robbed. The soul had been stripped out of that company. And what these people tried to do, individuals, and they were great people, is they would try to come in and like these books, they try to come into this culture and they try to do little, you know, ice cream parties and little things here and there, right, to try to bring morale back to the business and bring this culture back. And, of course, we enjoyed it. They were nice. But the reality was they didn't change anything. The true reality was day in and day out of that culture was it was all bottom line driven. Guys, I want to tell you, in the home, it's the same way. God wants for you in your home to have joy, to have this vitality, to have this excitement to go home, for it to be a safe place for your family, for your kids, for you to have this culture that you're not having to do a bunch of one-offs here and there to try to create this energy and this culture at home, but the culture is there. And the greatest culture that can be created is when you as individuals and as leaders and as husbands and wives love God with all your heart, soul, mind, and strength. And spill that over into your kids. Now, if you're here and you go, okay, how? Well, I want to tell you, there's that thing I announced earlier. I believe this will help you immensely. And it's called Grow. And we've designed this, honestly, for you to take steps here at River City Church. It's a way for you to not only get involved, but how you can actually help jumpstart or grow in your faith in God. And so that's what we want to do. And if that's you, if you say, hey, I don't know how to love God. I really don't. It sounds weird to me. I don't even know what that looks like, okay? He's like the big guy in the sky type thing. If that's where you're at, I understand that. And that's what we're here to do. We don't want you to feel like you don't have people here to help you because we're cheering for you and we're pulling for you. And what I want you to do is if that's you and you need help or you would like to be a part of the church, it doesn't matter. It's not only that, but this is for you. And if you would just take this card, fill it out, and then check, I'm interested in Grow, then on October the 10th, we're going to talk about that. And for 3 weeks, we're going to help you with that. Sound good? All right. Well, let's pray together. The band's going to come out. And then we're going to take an offering. Father, I thank you, God, for just everything that you're doing. I thank you, Father, for as we look at Jesus, when he pointed to what was the greatest commandment that was ever spoken in the law, he said it was love. It wasn't performance. It was all about a relationship. It was not about do's and don'ts and thou shalt nots. He just said it's about loving God. It's about allowing God to love you. And Father, in our homes, it's the same thing. Oftentimes we think it's about doing this, doing that, buying this, buying that, and all these decisions. But in reality, Father, it's about love between us and our spouse and between our kids and us. But God, I pray for every home here that the culture that people experience is a culture of love. And God, we know that that love flows from you to us and through us. And I pray for everyone here, Father, that they would fall in love with you. God, we ask you to just bless this day. In Jesus' name.